Today's Shir's Masechta Zvachim Daf Lamed Hey. We will begin on Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis, five lines from bottom. Gufa Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, as we discussed at the end of our previous Shir, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kais Echer Haya, there was one cup of blood, Mamalam Dama Teruvis, that the Kohen would scoop up from the floor on Erev Pesach, from all the blood that had gathered on Erev Pesach, and he would scoop that up. Shemishafach echemhem, that if the blood of a Karm Pesach had spilled without ever having Zrikas Adam, Nimtze Shumach Shiroi, by scooping up this cup, you were able to have Zrikas Adam done with this cup. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, To which they said to Rabbi Yehuda, why would this be advisable? The dam was spilled on the floor. And if the dam was spilled on the floor, then we know that only dam that had Kabbalah Saddam is acceptable. Dam that didn't have Kabbalah Saddam cannot be used for Zrika Saddam. Asked Ramana Yadi. The Gemara asks, we're assuming that the blood spilled on the floor without having Kabbalah Saddam. And that's why the Gemara is suggesting how would it be useful? Ask Mar Mina Yadi, how did they know that that's what happened with this blood? Maybe the blood was first in a kli, and from the kli it spilled on the floor. And as we learned in the Mishnah, if it spills from the keli onto the floor, then it is reusable. Says the Gemara, indeed. The Gemara doesn't mean that we know for sure that the dam spilled out of the kli, and therefore it's reusable. Ella, the Gemara's question was meant to be Shema loy neskaba b'kli. Maybe it wasn't first in the kli sharis, and if it wasn't in the kli sharis, then scooping it up wouldn't be of help. Amalhem answers the Gemara, Afani loy marti, to which Rabbi Yehuda replies, I never said for certain that this is going to work. I agree that if it's spilled from the animal directly on the floor, it's not reusable. My point was the Shema Neskava B'Kli. Maybe it was first in the Keli. Since it was first in the Keli, then it's usable. Ask the Gemara, V'higufa Mina Yada, why wouldn't push Rabbi Yehuda to believe that that's what happened? Says the Gemara, Kahanim's Rizanein. Throughout Taloch, we know there's a concept of Kahanim's Rizanein. And therefore, we could assume that they work quickly, and they do Kabbalah Saddam and the Kli Sharis, but then Mishtafchum, it spills out. But ask the Gemara, even if we could be comfortable in assuming that the dam was first in the Kli Sharis, and then it poured onto the floor, and that's why it's reusable, but ask the Revelai Dam Hatamtsis. We discussed that there are a number of different types of blood that exit the animal after it dies. And the last of the bloods we identify was Dama Tamsis, which cannot be used for Zrika. And it's all Mauraba. It's all the blood that stays mixed there. And therefore, how will we be able to do Zrika Saddam if there's Dama Tamsis mixed in? Answers the Gemara of Yudla Tameh, Dama Dama Tamsis Kari Dam. He holds that Dama Tamsis is still considered Dam. The Tanya, Dama Tamsis Bezara. Tanakama holds that for eating, of course, the Torah says we're not allowed to eat blood. As the pasuk says, "Kinefesh kabasa damer benafshehu v'ayim b'nei Yisrael dam kabas loysachlu kinefesh kabasa damhu kolacher v'kares." Then normally there's a chiyuv kares feeding dam, but Tana Kama holds the dam hatamtsis is not considered full fledged dam, and therefore there's only a lav, not a chiyuv kares. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's a chiyuv kares. So what the Gemara is saying is that if according to Rabbi Yehuda, for Dama Tamsis, there's a Chiyuv Karis, presumably Rabbi Yehuda also will agree that you could use Dama Tamsis for Zrika Saddam. Ask the Gemara, Vam Rabbi Lazar Moed Rabbi Yehuda Lini Kaparo, that even though Rabbi Yehuda has this position regarding Dama Tamsis, that it's considered Dam, Rabbi Yehuda agrees as far as when Zrika Saddam has to be done, She'enem Mechaper, it doesn't work. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, kinefesh kabas kidamu and nefesh bichaper, and from that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that we learn dam she nefesh eretz bekari dam. Dam and nefesh is called dam. She'en nefesh eretz be'en kari dam. So we're back to our question: how can we use Dama Tamsus for Zrikas Adam? It says Gemara: Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, the Amar Ein Dama Vatal Dam. The Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Min B'Mina Le'Batal, two things that are the same, don't become bottle one with the other. And since, in his opinion, Dam Tamsus, and Dam Hanefesh are both types of Dam, so even if you'll have mixed in here some Dam Tamsus, that won't detract from the Dam Hanefesh that's in that Keli from being able to be used, because you have also Dam Hanefesh, and the Dam Tamsus is not an issue. Now says Rehudah, he says to the Chachamim, the Mishnah Masech, the Pesachim teaches us that they would close up the canal to make sure that all the blood that's on the floor in the Azara, that all the blood that's on the floor in the Azara on Erev Pesach would not run out, drain out of the Azara. But asks of Yehuda to Chachamim, why would they need to do so? Then, according to my opinion, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's well understood why it was needed to be done. Because I wanted to be able to get this dam to do, as we're learning, another Zrika Saddam. But you who don't agree with me, so why would they do that? Amalhu says the Gemara, the reason they did it is Shvachu Lubnei Aaron, Shaholchu Arak Vesein Badam. It's something beautiful to see how the Kahanim are willing to walk through blood to be able to show how much blood, how many kabbanos were brought out of Pesach for Karban Pesach. But ask the Gemara, for Dam Hava Chatzitza, the blood that's on the floor of the Zara is a Chatzitza. Says the Gemara, Lachi, it's liquidy, Vlava Chatzitza, and therefore it's not considered Chatzitza. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Hadam Vadioi Vadam, blood Vadioi ink, Vadvash honey, Vacholov milk, Yuvation, when they're dried, the choytzin, lachen ein choytzin. But ask the Gemara, there's another problem. For kamista femenayu, they cause that the garments of the Kohanim get dirty. V'tanya, we learned earlier in Amasechta, haya begadim tushtoshim, if the clothing of the Kohanim are dirty, vavid, and he does his avoid doing, wearing clothing in such a fashion, avadase psula, so how would that be doable? V'chitayim with the madluhu, if you say, well, they'll lift up the begadim, that they shouldn't get dirty, but ask the Gemara, for Tanya, we also learned that the Pasuk says, k'midasai, and the midai bad, and we learned from that, k'midasai, shloyechse v'layoyse, that we have to be careful that the begadim have to be the right size. So if that's the case, how could they avoid the big de kahuna from getting dirty? Says the Gemara, they got the clothing dirty by lochs of arm lekevish, as they're carrying the parts of the animal to the ramp, that's not an avoida. Where is it necessary to wear proper sized begadim? Only when they're doing an actual avoida, but carrying the limbs, the organs of the animal to the mizbeach is not a full-fledged avoida, and therefore it doesn't make a difference how the big dekuna follow. Tosfos says that our suya is following the opinion that we learned earlier in Amasech, that the Avnet Megas Gaius, that if you put a belt around the beged to lift it up, it's as if the beged on the bottom is cut off. And if it's as if the beged on the bottom is cut off, it's a problem with Kamidai Bad. V'loi, ask the Gemara, is carrying the Evarim not considered an avoida? For Tanya, the Pasuk says, and we learn from there as well, that carrying the Evarim to the ramp is an avoida. Ella, halachas aleitzim marocha. When did they walk wading in blood? When they were carrying the wood to the marocha, the lava avoidahu. Ask the Gemara, fine. So they're wearing and getting themselves dirty when they're not doing an avoida. But ask the Gemara, avoida hechazli, when they had to do an avoida, how were they able to do it if the Azara was full of blood, it's going to get their clothing dirty? And says the Gemara, Azli al Etzdaboi. They had like these pillars, stone pillars, in the Azara, and they walked on top of them, and that's how they were prevented from getting dirty. So our Gemara just said that Shvachul b'nei Aaron, it was something praiseworthy to the b'nei Aaron that they walked all the way, they walked in the Azara, were getting their clothes completely dirty from the dam of the Korban Pesach. It says the Chasam Sofer that many times a person buys himself a beautiful esrog, and as the yontif of Sukkot goes on, and we hold the esrog during Halal and by the Nanuim, the esrog gets spatted, which is a type of an esrog that we certainly would never buy. Says the Chasam Sofer, that esrog that got spatted from our hands touching the esrog so many times over yontif, it says the Chasam Sofer, the words, this is the Masechta Sukkah on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Zu Hoydoy Vadoro. That's actually the beauty of the esrog. The beauty of the esrog, says the Chasam Sofer, is that it was used for a mitzvah, and as it was used for a mitzvah, it got dirty. That's true beauty. I saw that the Shalos HaTshuva Binyan Shloima asked that our Gemara says that the halacha that we learned previously, the midai bad, that the halachas that the big day kuna have to be perfect size. He says that the question he asks is, where does the Torah teach us this halacha? He says the Torah teaches this halacha in Parshas Tzav, when the Torah speaks about the avoid of Trumas Hadeshen, cleaning off the ash from the Mizbeach. And he asks, shouldn't this halacha been taught in Parshas Tetzava, where the Torah teaches us about Big Day Kahuna? So he quotes, so this sefer was written by Reb Shlomo Kayim Mivilna, and he quotes his brother, Rabbi Tzalo Mivilna, that even though the Big Day Kahuna were very long, we just learned that, at least according to some opinions, you can lift them up by lifting up the baguette and having the avnate around it. He says, but when we speak about Trumas Hadeshen, he says there's an opinion in Masechta Yuma Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis that when the Kohen did the avoid of Trumas Hadeshen, he only wore the Ksoinus and Mechnasayim, and he didn't have the avnate to help him lift up his baguette. So that's very gishmak. By the other begadim, the Torah is not so concerned that they should be the perfect, the right size, because you always have the avnate to help you lift it. But by Trumas Hadeshen, where you don't have the avnate available to lift up the beged, that's why the Torah has to be clear that it has to be midai bad, it has to be a perfect size, there's no way to repair it. Rav Shlomo Kohen himself answers a simple teretz. This is the halacha as we're learning, that's teaching us that we have to be careful that the baggage should not get dirty. So explains Rav Shlomo Kohen that since we're speaking about the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Trumas Hadeshen is a place and time where it's easy for the Kohen to get himself dirty, that's why they are careful, that's why the Torah had to go out of its way to tell us you have to be careful not to got dirty. The Sifsei Chaim says, as our Gemara says, Shvachul b'nei Aaron sheyech l'akriveseim b'dam. It's beautiful that they walked and they up to the ankles, to the knees in blood. He says, what's the lesson of this Gemara? He says, the lesson of this Gemara is that we have our own definition of what's nice and what's not nice. And our Gemara is teaching us that we think getting yourself dirty with blood is something that's not nice. But that's not the way to look at things. We have to look at things, what enhances Avodas Hashem. And walking in blood shows your tremendous respect to the Avodas Hashem. And that's why it's considered a shvach. The halacha is that when a person goes to the mikvah, he's not allowed to have any chatzitza, he's not allowed to have any farm matter on his body. However, there are more paskins that if somebody is in a profession that brings them into constant contact with dam, like a butcher who may have dry blood on his body, it's not considered a chatzitza. Because such a person, he's a butcher and he's always in contact with blood, so having the blood on his body is considered ain't a makbid. So ask the Shvus Yaakov, because our Gemara just said that dry blood on a kohen is considered chatzitza, even though the kohen is presumably like the butcher, who is constantly involved with the slaughter of animals. So why should dry blood be a chatzitza for him? So the Beis Yitzchak, in answer to this question, points out that when we speak about shechita, we spoke about this halacha more than once, when we speak about shechita of kabanas, it's not halacha that only applies to kahanim. As we've learned many times in our masechta, that Yisrael may perform shechita as well. And he claims, interestingly, that the Zohar says that the kahanim generally refrain from doing shechita in order not to get their big day kahuna dirty, as we're learning. So, therefore, he says, kahanim are not in the same category as butchers who are always slaughtering animals. By them, dam is not a chatzitza, but a kohen it would be. The Hilchos Ketanos says a moel could do netilas yadayim even if he has dry blood on his hands. And he points out that just like our Gemara says, it's admirable for the kahanim to have blood on themselves from the blood of the kohanim, from the blood of kabanis, so too is the same by a moel to have blood on his hands. It shows how connected he is to the mitzvah of mila. The Shvus Yaakov, however, disagrees with Hilchos Ketanos. He says, our Gemara speaks that the kahanim walk in blood, but our Gemara clearly indicated, as we said a moment ago, that dry blood would even be a chatzitza for kahanim. So as much as it's wonderful that a moel appreciates the mitzvah that he's given the opportunity to do, the mitzvah of mila, but that doesn't mean having blood on his body is not having blood on his body is not considered a chatzitza. I also saw a very interesting question that many people that before they go to davening, they go to the mikveh or they may take a shower right before they daven and their hair is still wet. And the question is that is wet hair a chatzitza when he puts on tefillin? And I saw a very interesting vart that the Birkei Yosef points out. He says, there's a usually moist things, liquid, are not chatzitza. He says, our Gemara is a very unique Gemara. The reason our Gemara is very unique is because our Gemara is speaking about the Big Day Kahuna. And our Gemara is speaking about the Kahanim doing the Avoida. And as we discussed previously in our Masechta, there's a new din that there's not allowed to be anything between the Big Day Kahuna and the body of the Kohen. There's not allowed to be anything between the Ritzpah and the feet of the Kohanim. So therefore, he says that the Halacha of is specifically by Big Day Kahuna and the Avoid and the Azara, where we're so concerned about any Chatzitza. But that level of concern doesn't apply to other places. And in other places, the halacha will be that if it's just liquid, it wouldn't be a chatzitza. And therefore, if somebody's hair is wet when they're putting on the tefillin, it would not necessarily be considered according to the halacha as a chatzitza. Cheshuke Chemed discusses an interesting question. He says somebody borrowed a Gemara for someone else, and the person was learning the Gemara, and he was learning, and invariably, as he's learning, he might have caused stain to the Gemara. And the question that he wants to discuss is the person that was giving back the Gemara, and he says, the person, the owner of the Gemara says, I gave you a perfectly new, nice Gemara, and you're giving me back a stained Gemara. So he says that can we use the concept that we just discussed from the Chasam Sofer, a Shvachul Aaron, that it's beautiful for Aaron, it's beautiful for the Bnei Aaron that they got their clothing dirty from the blood of the Kabanas, that the person who borrowed the Gemara could say, I really made your Gemara better. The way I made your Gemara better is that showing that it was used is a shvach. So he says, of course not. And the simple pshat is because when I lend somebody Gemara, the assumption, the expectation is that when I'm going to get back the Gemara, it's going to be given back to me more or less in the same shape as I gave it. The other thing is, in our Gemara, or in the Gemara, or the concept that the Chasam Sofer mentions, he speaks about something that happened in the course of doing the mitzvah. To learn from a Gemara, it's not necessary to make a Gemara dirty or not in the same pristine shape to be able to learn Torah. And therefore, you can't bring a raya from the Esrig that got ruined in the course of doing a mitzvah, or the Bnei Aaron in the course of their doing an avodah, to the case of a Gemara that got ruined, that doesn't have to get ruined in the course of learning from the Gemara. But he does say, similar to what we mentioned earlier, that what is considered a shvach or is not considered a shvach is very subjective. And he quotes a story. I saw the story is said from the Kapishnitz Rebbe. The Kapishnitz Rebbe lived in the east side of Manhattan. And one day, Chol Hamoed Sukkos, he tells one of his chassidim, I'd like to go visit the nicest sukkah here in our neighborhood in Manhattan. So Chassid said, okay, the Rebbe wants to go visit a nice sukkah. He says, yes. And they come to a sukkah, they come knock at a certain apartment, and they ask the person, can we come see your sukkah? And of course, Kapishnitz Rebbe wants to come in to see the sukkah. And they come into the sukkah, and the whole sukkah had pink slips on the walls. And what were they? This person, in the early years here in the United States, Shmirah Shabbos was very difficult. People had to work on Shabbos. And this person was prepared to be a Shomer Shabbos. And because he was prepared to be a Shomer Shabbos, every Friday he would be let go from his job. He would get a pink slip. And he collected all of these pink slips and he hung it up on the walls of the sukkah. So when we think of decorations in a sukkah, we don't necessarily think of pink slips being the nicest decoration. But of course, in the context of showing his love to the mitzvah and how he's ready to do so much for the mitzvah that he is going to get fired every Friday, there's nothing more beautiful. And the same Al Gemara, what we would normally not necessarily consider as beautiful, dam, is not something that we would necessarily consider beautiful. But that is all in the proper context. In the context of our Gemara, it's very much considered something that is beautiful. Says the Mishnah. So we've been learning about Pigel and our Mishnayis, and we learned that if somebody does Shechita Kabbalah Alocha Zrika with the intention to eat the meat of the carbon or to burn the emerim of the carbon after the proper time, that makes the carbon Pigel. And if somebody were to eat from that carbon, there's a chi of karis. If somebody shecks a carbon with the intention to eat from the meat of that carbon or to burn the emurim of the carbon outside of the proper place, the carbon is possible, but there's no chi of karis feeding that karis. Teaches us the Mishnah, if somebody shecks a carbon with the intention to eat something which is not normally eaten, which is the emurim, the murim are not normally eaten, the murim are normally burnt. Or lahakta dov shein dak lahakter, or he has intention to do chutzlos man and chutz mekaymai on something which is not normally burnt on the mizbeach, the halacha is kosher. The carbon is still kosher. However, Rebbe Lezer says it's possible. Continues the Mishnah, lechel dov shein dak lechel. If somebody had in mind to eat something which is normally eaten, chutzlos man and chutz mekaymai, or lahakta dov but he had a mind on pachs mekazayis for less than kazayis, it's also kosher. It has to be, the machshava has to be on a kazayis. But says the Mishnah, lechel chatzik kazayis, lahakte chatzik kazayis, kosher, again, because en achil v'aktar mitztarfim, achil and aktar do not combine. Says the Mishnah, Hashaychid es a zevach lechol kazayis min or. If somebody shechs the carbon with the intention to eat a kazayis of the hide, and the hide is not something which is normally eaten, kazayis min or un aroitiv. The roitiv is the gravy that's on the bottom. Min akipa, it's the small pieces of meat and or spice that we find at the which we find at the bottom of the pot. Min olol, which is the gid, which is the vein by the neck. Min atzomus, min agidim, min akirayim, min atolfayim, from the bones and from the other veins and from the hoofs, from the horns and the hoof, with the kavana of eating them. Chutz lezmanim chutz mekaymai kosher. Since these are not things that could be eaten, thinking about eating them won't make it a pigle. Ben chayav amai pigle. There's no chiv a pigle for eating them. Is that and there's no chiv a nicer if you left over from the carbon past the proper time, or there's no chiv that somebody whose tummy is not eat from a carbon. This doesn't apply. The Tferes Yisrael points out that the din of Minaroitiv in a Makipa represents a very important chiddush, because they are really part of the food. But still, since they're not what's normally eaten, therefore it's not subject to the halachas of pigel. But the Rishonim ask a question. There's halacha all over in Yoridea that tam kikr, that something what has the taste of something that's asur is asur. So all these parts of the carbon have the taste of the carbon that's pasul. So why don't we say tam kikr? And the Sefer Rishon Letzion says a very bechiddush. He says, of course, in Hilchos Yoridea there is a concept of tam kikr. He says, but the halacha of tam kikr does not apply to Hilchos Pigel. And the explanation is, tam kikr means that it has the taste of something that's asur, and since it has the taste of something that's asur, it becomes asur. But when we speak about Hilchos Pigel, the substance itself, in order for it to become pigel, has to be something which is chashuv. The best proof being that we learned just now that if you only have a chatzi kazayis, it's not going to be pigel. And the reason it's not pigel is because if it's only a chatzi kazayis, it doesn't have enough chashivas. Here too, it wouldn't have enough chashivas, and that's why it's not considered pigel. The Mishnah spoke about the olol, and actually, the Gemara, Masech Techulin, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, Amar Aleph, has a machloikis, what is the olol? Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says it's called the martka. Rish Lakish says it's that when they skin the animal, sometimes there are pieces of meat attached to the skin, and that he calls the olol. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's the martka, there's a machloikis Rashi and Tosfos, what does martka mean? Rashi says, as we just explained, it's the veins that are next to the neck, which are hard and not easy to eat. And Tosfos, quoting Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Tam, says, Basa meats, meat that's dead. Our Mishnah clearly is, Rashi and our Mishnah is following his position. So the Chofetz Chaim asks that our Mishnah already says that Gidin are not included in the Kalocha of a pigle. So why did the Mishnah have to single out Olol? So the Chavetz Chaim says there are three levels of Gidin. There's the Olol, which is extremely inedible. Then there are other Gidin, which are hard and not edible. And then there are Gidin that are actually soft. So he says what the Mishnah is teaching us is that not just the Olol, which is highly inedible, is not included in a pigle, but even other Gidin are not included in a pigle. And then the Mishnah comes, but then if it'll be, says the Chofetz Chaim, something which is actually edible, so even though it's a gid, but if it's an edible good, suggests the Chofetz Chaim, then it would be subject to the halachas of pigle. Hashachas mukdashim lechel shlo. If somebody shachs an animal which is kodesh when the intention to eat the fetus, or shilya, the sack in which the fetus is found, b'chutz mekayim b'chutz lozmanoi loy pigel, it won't become pigel. Hamaylik is a tyrant. The halach is that when you bring a bird as a carbon, the way the bird is killed is with melika. So says the Mishnah, hamaylik as a tyrant. If someone does melika on tyrant lechel bayim b'chutz with the intention to eat the eggs that are in the bird, chutz lozman chutz mekayim, again, loy pigel. Cholav mukudashim, the milk of animals that are hegdish obey tyrant, and chayav malim mishum pigel, nice of a tame, all of these halachas don't apply to these things. Amar Belazar, and now says Belazar, even though we said that if you had a machsheves pigel regarding the shlil, it wouldn't become pigel, but Belazar says, what happens if pigel bezevach? You had a machsheva pigel on the carbon. So he says, Nispagel Shlil. So then, when you're not allowed to eat a kazayis of this carbon, you're not allowed to include eat from the Shlil. But, and therefore, but vice versa, the Shlil, if your machshava was about the Shlil, so as the Mishnah just said, the Shlil is not considered a significant part of the animal, like Nispagel HaShevach. Similarly, says Rabbi Lozer, Pigel Ba'olo, if somebody had a machshava's Pigel to eat the Olo, which is soft, the olah of a bird, not the olah of an animal. Olah of a bird, animal we just said, is not edible. But he had in mind to eat the olah of the bird, chutz lozman and chutz l'mekaymai, it will affect nespagel b'moiroi. Moiroi is the crap. The animal has like a sack with a food. After the animal swallows it through the veshit, there's like a sack where the food gathers, and that's where it begins to get digested, and that's called the zephik or the myra. So the myra is not considered really a food, a part of the animal. And therefore, pigel ba'olo, nespagel myra. But if myra, if your kavana was on the myra, learn nespagel olo. We know that there are certain types of carbon chattas that are unique, that a parim and a srofim where the animal is burnt, not on the mizbech, the par yom kippur, the par koin godla mishuach, mishem and mishka, that we discussed extensively, Masech Tehoris, that if the Kohen Gadol that was pointed Kohen Gadol with the Shem and the Mishka did an Aveira, for which we would bring a regular Karmel Chatas, he brings the special Par, or Par on Davish Tzibur, which is the primary subject of Masech Tehoris, that a Beis Din issued erroneous Psak, and based on that Psak, Klai Yisrael followed it, most of Klai Yisrael followed it. They have to bring a param davish or tzibur. And the halach is that they're burnt, that their blood is spritzed in the heichal, and everything else is burnt outside in the Beis Hadishin. So says the Mishnah, pigel beimurim, despagel parim, if you had pigel on the part that's supposed to be put on the mizbech apnimi, then the rest of the animal will become pigel. But if you had makshava on the parim part, which is the part that's supposed to be burnt, loinus baglu emrim, lema mesaili. So the Gemara just mentioned that according to Belazar, there's certain parts that can't become pigle on their own, but could be pigle if the part of such an animal, lema mesaili. So the Gemara wants to say we could bring a raya from the Mishnah we're going to learn in Mitzvashem on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, that the Rabbanan say the pigle applies with Parim and Asrafim. And Rav Shimon says that since the Parim and Asrafim, the dam is not put on the Mizbech Achitzin, there's no pigel. The Shavim, but then the Mishnah says, Shem Chishiv Bechilas Parim Ubisrifasin, if you had a Machshava by one of the Avoidus of the Par, Bechilas Parim Ubisrifasin, to eat the Par or to burn at the wrong time, Lem Asa V'loi Klum. Since it's something that's not meant to be eaten, therefore there's no pigel. So says the Gemara, my laugh. How are we to understand that Mishnah? Hachisha be murim, if your machshava was on the part of the carbon of these kabanas, a parim and a srafim, on the murim pot, it would affect the parim, so, which is exactly what Rabbi Elazar said. It says, Maloy, that's not the way to understand that Mishnah. Hachishe be murim, if you had a machshav on the murim, it won't affect the rest of the animal, like Rabbi Elazar is suggesting, but in the spaglum and murim atzmam, it will affect the emurim. But to say that it affects the rest of the animal, there is no compelling proof to that concept. It says Mar Toshma from another Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Masechta Mila, Daf Ayin Amar Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Parm and Asrafim, Sirim and Asrafim, Mayalim Bam Mishogdashu. Once you will magdish them, they're subject to the halachas of Mi'ila. Mayalim Bam Mishogdashu Nishkatu. Once they slaughter Hukshul Apostle B'tful Yoyim, if somebody was tummy went to the mikveh that day, he still has to have hair of shemesh. And if he touches it, then it's considered like somebody tummy touched it. Or if somebody who has a tumah for which he has to bring kabbanis, azava, until he brings the kabbanis, he has a level of tumah. Or belina, if he didn't finish the avodah till the next morning. My lav, linus basar. Doesn't this Mishnah say that if it's the basal was left overnight, it becomes pasul? V'shma'amina. So we see that it's subject to lina. So even though it's not something that's going to be eaten or burnt on the mizbeach, but still, isn't this a proof, suggests the Gemara? The migi, the pasul b'lina, pasul b'machshava. Says the Gemara, we're not talking about lina's pasul. The halachas of parim and asrafim don't apply to the basar. What's it speaking about? It's speaking about the linus amarim. And the linus amarim, which is put on the mizbeach, is subject to the halachas of mila. Says the Gemara, but let's continue learning that Mishnah of a man mediktani sefer. The Mishnah continues teaching us, kula mayam mem abeis adeshen. The mila takes place by the base adeshen, achi yutach basar, until the meat is completely burnt, and therefore it's not subject to mila. Isn't this a proof? Bechlal dereisha is speaking about linus basar. Says the Marmida area, hakadisa v'akadisa. The each Mishnah is speaking about its separate subject. When we spoke about lina, we're speaking about the mirim, and we're speaking about the basar. We're speaking about the basar. Meisve Rabba says the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar says that if you had a machshavas pigle on the carbon, it would affect the shlil and shilya as well. Even though if you had a machshava on the shlil and shilya, we learned in the Mishnah, it would not, if you had a machshava, if you had a machshava on them, it would not make pigle. Meisvei, the Brisa says, Meisvei Rabba, El Dvarim Shem Befaglim. These are the type of situations that if somebody had a machshava chutz l'zman and chutz m'kaymai, it won't become pigle. They mispaglum, and there's no chorus feeding them. Semesh b'roshik fossim, the wool that's on top of the sheep. Sarsh b'zakin tiyoshim, the hair that's on the chin of a goat. Har, the skin. Varoitiv is the, what we said, the gravy. Vakipa, v'olo, v'amoira. V'atzomas, v'agidin, v'akonayim, v'atofayim, v'ashlil, v'ashilya, v'cholav, hamugdoshim, the milk that's in the udder of a female animal, they tire the eggs, cool lime faglin, lime spaglin, vem chayavim, mishan pigle, noiser vetame. Vahal ma'am bechutz, and there's a very serious isser of bringing chutz, bechutz, they won't apply. And the reason for all of them is because these are parts of the animal that are not meant to be eaten, nor meant to be burnt on the mizbeach. My love, so what is the, doesn't this Bryson mean to say that loy mefagl mazavach? If you had a machshavas chutz uzman and chutz mukaymai, it won't make the carbon pigle. And doesn't it mean v'loy mespaglin machmas azavach? That if your carbon became pigle, if your carbon became pigle, it wouldn't affect these parts of the animal. Says the Gemara loy. The way to understand is loy mefagl mazavach. They don't make the carbon pigle. If you had a machshava on that potted animal, it's not considered a carbon. It's not considered that you had a machshava that would make it pigel. However, that doesn't mean that if you had a machshava, suggests the Gemara, that you had a machshava on a part of the animal with pigel is applicable, it shouldn't affect them. The Mishnah is teaching us, the Bryce is teaching us, that they won't make the carbon pigel, and maybe we would think that at least they don't have the ability to make the rest of the carbon pigel, but they have the ability to become pigel himself. Even that doesn't happen, says the Gemara. But that doesn't mean if the rest of the carbon becomes pigel, it wouldn't affect them. Yachi asked him, "How do you turn yourself kulam and fagalam and spaglin? Hasulamali." What was the Mishnah trying to teach with these words? Says Mao Tameich. So ask the Gemara, and according to your understanding, we said that they're not parts of the animal that thinking about them make pigle. Ella, either the boiler missed the noise or tamei, because the Bryce also wanted to tell us what is the halacha in these parts of the animal. As far as noise with tamei, tana pigle, it repeats the halacha pigle, even though there's nothing new. Hachnami, either the boiler missed the mal mechutz, tanaim kulam faglam spaglin, even though it doesn't represent a new din. Rav Ama, afanan namitanina. And now Rava wants to say that actually our Mishnah supports the opinion of Eliezer. The Mishnah says, "Ashachas mekdashim lachol shlo l'shoyi b'chutz loy pigel." The Mishnah continued saying, "V'amoylik es atarim lachol bayim b'chutz loy pigel." Again, the Mishnah says it doesn't become pigel. "V'hadatani," and then the Mishnah said, "Cholav hamekdashim, the milk that's in the animal beitarim and the egg ain't chayovim leim shem pigel nois v'tamei." Hashul, isn't the Mishnah seemingly telling us the shlil v'shilya, that when we speak about the shlil and shilya, there might be a situation, hashlil v'shilya, there might be a situation that you be chai for pigel. Elav shmamina, that indeed there is a situation that they may be subject to pigel. When? Kamachim sezevach, if you had a machshav on the carbon, not the shlil v'shilya part, it will affect the shlil v'shilya part. Kan, if you didn't have that machshava, it wouldn't become pickle. Says the Gemara Tanan Hossam. The Mishnah later in our Masechta on that Pei Dalad Amar Aleph teaches us that there's a concept that even if something that wasn't put on the supposed to be put on the Mizbeach was put on the Mizbeach, the halacha is Im Olu Lo Yardu. But then there's certain things that Im Olu Yardu. What are they? Bali Mumin. That if an animal which is a Baal Mum, or a Nirva, the halacha will be Olu Yerdu. Rekiva Machshav Baal Mumin. Rekiva says, if a Baal Mum was put on the Mizbeach, it should be left there. Varma Rekiva Rabba Rabbi Yochanan, where Rekiva said his opinion, Lahechshav Rekiva Ala Bedukin Shabayin. Dukin Shabayin is if the Baal Mum was cataract. Hoyel Vekshayim Ba'ifus. The Tayag Doshu, when it says, the isser of an animal being a balmum, the Torah says, "Tam zoch b'boka b'ksovim b'izim kol asher balmum lo yisakrivu." But when the Torah speaks about birds, the Torah says that doesn't say this halacha, and therefore their halacha is if it's missing an organ, then it's going to be disqualified. Otherwise, like a cataract would be a balmum by an animal and not a balmum by a bird. The Rishonim point out, what is the Mishnah, what does the Gemara single out Dukin Shabayin? So some suggest Dukin Shabayin is singled out, but it's not only Dukin Shabayin. Others say that indeed other mumim are not considered full-fledged mumim by a bird, but still the halacha is strict with them besides by a Dukin Shabayin. Dukin Shabayin, even with the Rabbanon, is not considered a mum. Where was Rabbi Kiva lenient? By the cataract. We see it's not such a serious problem because a bird with a cataract can be brought as a carbon. But, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan adds, when are these Bali Mum allowed to remain on the Mizbeach? If you first magdish them and then they became Bal Mum. But if when you magdish them, they were ready Baal Mum, even Rabbi Kiva will agree that they should be taken off the Mizbeach. The command of Mumalakdeshadami, that even though oif could be brought, oilus oif could be brought from a female, but oilus behema can never be a female, and therefore it's considered like kodam muman lagdeshim, and therefore it has to be taken off the mizbeach. Moser of Zera asked the Gemara, our Mishnah mentioned a many number of things that don't become pigal, nois v'tamei. And one of the things that was mentioned was a shalil, which we explained is the sack that the fetus is in. It says that when I'm alamem b'chutz, and we learned if somebody puts this part of the animal carbon outside the azara, potter. Hami iman, it seems that the shalil you'll be potter. Hami iman, you'll be chayiv. Ve'echem mishkach sla. Why could you be chayiv by an oil that's in the keva? By oil that's in the keva. V'yad b'shlama. So if you'll say, as we wanted to say, that kusavar kiva oil is the keva, it also loy teirid, then an oil is in the keva, even though a behemoth that's in the keva should not be brought for carbon oil. But Rabbi Kiva says, since by a oif, you can bring an oilless oif from in the keva, that's why he's going to say the same thing by an oilless in the keva, behemoth, and also loy teirid. So we'll say that how did you have a shlil? How did you have the sack of a animal that's a carbon oiler? Because it's following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, who b'dievet says it has a hegdish. Eli Amrit, that even Rabbi Kiva says, emolsa teirid, and oilus nekeva, behema, it has no kedusha, so what is that b'raisa telling me? Hamani? Answers the Gemara, ema malman b'chutz potter, hama emer iman, if you put the emrim of a carbon shlom of a carbon chattas, then you would be chayiv. Says Mavam Mehenk Tami. You said, doesn't the Brisa say Mehen? We're talking about the Shalil, Eman Dumidatu, and when we speak about the Akhtara, we're also speaking about the Basar. So the question is that the Basar of a carbon shlum is not put on the Mizbeach. Elam Amal Be Merum Bechutz Potter. If you put the Emerim Bechutz Potter, if you put the Shalil b'chutz b'potter ta'hami emir iman, but the rest of the emrim which do belong in the mizbeach, they're yichayiv, because we're speaking about a karm shlom, a karm chattas that do come from in the keva, and we're learning that the emrim of the mother are therefore subject to all of the halachas, but the shalil is not subject to these halachas because it's not something that's put on the mizbeach, and since it's not something that's put on the mizbeach, there's no din of haktaras chutz.